Hi, welcome to another coaching, soccer 1v1 soccer coaching podcast. This is Coach Ezra, and today we want to discuss a topic that's near and dear to me in particular, and of course a lot of other parents as well. It is, what should you do if your child is not playing or is not playing enough on the team that they're on, right? Everybody goes through this. At some point in time, a child will get benched, or you just don't play at all or enough. And what should you do? And of course, the reasons may differ with all the different teams and all different parents and kids. With that said, I think the most important thing for me is really getting to the bottom of the why. You know, why is the coach choosing not to play a child, or the child is not playing enough? And it's important for, as a parent, you know, you should be focused on playing this supportive role for the kid versus you want to take over and kind of direct what is going on. It's very important to do that. And I've learned this from one parent I worked with. I'm not going to call any name, but, you know, obviously if they're listening, they know who they are. We went through a scenario where his young daughter wasn't playing, and she wasn't playing enough, I should say. She wasn't playing, and she wasn't playing enough, meaning some games she played, some games she did not play. So what obviously came up was surprise by the parent. Why is she not playing, and why she's not playing enough? And, you know, the questions start swirling. And of course, I, as you know, me being the 1v1 coach, the parent brought this up to me as a concerned area. And, you know, being who I am, I'm going to engage a parent and try to understand. We're going to decipher what may be happening. And of course, for me, I try to ask the questions of, okay, what type of formation the team is playing? Who are the kids who are playing ahead of her? What are the skill sets of the players who are playing ahead of her in comparison to the child, just to get an idea. Okay, maybe she's not one of the strongest players on the team, so therefore she has to play at a certain time or play in a certain game, possibly when the game is not too difficult. So all these questions I try to ask. Once a parent comes up to me and say, okay, my child is not playing enough and I want to fix that. And that's important. Again, it's a big challenge for me as a 1v1 coach, but however, I think about that. I embrace that challenge. And, you know, the answer may be, okay, your child is not one of the strongest player on the team and she needs to work on certain areas. So, okay, great. Let's get down to business. Let's get to work. And I think, again, the biggest learning point that I've taken from working with a parent in that regard is, it can be a sometimes challenging process just to figure out what to fix, what to work on, go work on it, and then wait to see what the results are. Right, it's riveting. It's hard to wait and see. And in our time of life, we would love to get it done right now. So I'm going to tell you a quick story. So when the parent came to me and say, "Okay, my daughter is not playing enough. I don't know why." The first thing I thought about, I asked him the questions. You know, is she one of the strongest? What position is she playing in? What are some of the challenges when she's playing? Is she crossing the ball enough? Is she passing enough? Is she just dribbling? Is she shooting enough? You know, all the necessary questions. The other thing I did, I went to watch a game. That was very, very important for me. Going and seeing it for myself, so I can make a good observation of, okay, what are possibly some of the issues that she's running into. So of course, you know, I got together, I decided with the parent, hey, let's go and watch one of the games. We were watching the games together, and I'm telling you guys, just watching this game was challenging. You know, of course, being with the parent, we were like, okay, This kid is doing that. This kid is doing that. I think the player can do, the player that I went to watch, she wasn't playing at the time, can do just as well, just as good, or even better. You know, you'll be forced into making that comparison. It's just the way it is. So we were there watching, and I'm telling you, I'm being honest, I had to really keep my nerves and my emotions in check around, okay, why is she not playing? Because I'm sure she can do just as well or even better than this kid. So the game goes on. We watch. Ultimately, the child came in. She was playing. And now is the best time for me. Now it gives me a chance to look at the choices she's making on the field, the runs she's making. Is she passing? Is she understanding the team concept? Does she understand exactly where the coach wants her to go on the field? What should be her positioning while she's playing? Is she helping her teammate? Is there conflict between herself and her teammate during the game? And one thing with the girls, it's very hard to pick that up. They don't talk a lot when they're playing, but they are talking. When I ask my clients, especially the girls, like, what are some of the conversations they have with each other in the field? They are talking. They are, you probably don't pick that up on the sidelines, parents, but they are talking. They are having these conversations, some good, some positive, some negatives, just the way it is. So watching this game, I start to observe the team concept and how the team is trying to play and how they're trying to get their results. And I kind of got that aha moment just being there and seeing. And one of the number one thing that I observed, and I would just share this with you guys, because obviously now at this point, we have solved the problem. The young lady is now one of the top talent on that team. She's going to high school very soon. She's doing great. She's been playing. And also she's now one of the top goal scorer, or the top goal scorer on the team. Just by a position change and just by a refocused coaching staff, she was able to basically knock it out the ballpark in terms of the minutes that she's playing and the goals that she have scored. Now, the key thing I took away from the game that I saw was I saw where the team was trying to play a certain way and also, you know, how the young lady plays, right? Her tendencies, and that's important. How does your child tendencies fit within the team concept? And sometimes it's not a good fit, or a small adjustment needs to be made to the child's way of playing. So once I observed that, what I noticed was the team was playing a lot of long balls, right? And most of those balls weren't coming in the direction of the young lady. She, and I'm, let me give you full transparency, let me give you a position. She was playing outside midi on the left side. And noticed that most of the balls were not coming in her direction and there were long balls. The defenders would just boot the ball up and then, you know, the attackers would just run it down. And of course, kids know this. They have their own preferences at times. They know who is strong, who is weak on the field. They analyze these things for themselves. So obviously, if a player, and you guys go through this as well, parents, throughout your professional career, we tend to play to the strengths of others, right? And we tend to avoid the weaker co-workers or whatever. Like in our professional life at work, we tend to look for people who are strong, who can help us right away versus somebody who is probably just developing, just coming along and throughout the tide of their career. And we tend to avoid those people. And, you know, it's just a human mindset. So I observed that while the young lady was playing most of those balls. So if you think about it, if 80% of the balls that she faces, it's just balls that she has to be running down that was just booted up towards her, not really to her. And she has to be running them down. She's going to spend 10, 12 minutes doing the same thing, right? And what if that's the only 12 minutes she gets for the entire game? So what that means is she don't receive a proper ball throughout her 12 minutes. So, you know, the challenge now is, okay, as a 1v1 coach, how do I address that? Obviously, I'm limited in terms of what I can do. I can't go change the team concept, but what I can do is I can encourage the child to find different ways to get her balls, where she could put herself in a position to score or to cross or to pass the ball. So, you know, after observing the child's game, I went back to the drawing board with the parent. And we start talking about just ways that we could address the issues that I saw. So, number one, I think the first thing though, and I think I kind of ran past that, the first thing though has to be, okay, have a discussion with the coach, right? To understand exactly what the coach sees versus what you see as a parent. Very, very important. Take that feedback from the coach, even if it's positive or negative. And it's hard to do for us as parents because, again, this is feedback coming from the coach. It can go in multiple different directions, right? But you have to think about this as the child being in school. While they're going through school, they have to get feedback throughout the year, right? They have progress report. Those things are important. So that conversation with the coach can serve as a progress report. So it's important to get that progress report from the coach so you can understand now, okay, what are the things that my child need to work on? And how can we get to work on those things? And of course, I'm challenging you to think about these things because it's important, very, very important. Whether or not you and I, you know, just like everybody, sometimes I don't like feedback. I don't like certain feedback, but feedback is very, very important. That's how we grow. And it's important for the kids as well. So that's the number one thing I encourage the father to do, get the feedback. Once we got the feedback, we now start understanding what the coach is looking for. And then we went to work and said, okay, now I'm going to start tailoring my 1v1 coaching based on what the feedback was from the coach. If we just nail the things that the coach said that we need to work on, okay, we're gonna achieve that. Then now we can look at even more opportunities now. How are we gonna fit the child's style of play into what the coach is looking for? And you know, guys, this can be a lengthy podcast because there's so much details around that. But the number one thing is getting that feedback. And once you get that feedback, working with your one-on-one coach, whether it's me or somebody else, and try to figure out, okay, how can the one-on-one coach now focus on the areas that the kid needs to improve on so that she can get in the game or play longer with her team. That's very important. So, just to close out the story, the young lady eventually started playing, and now she's one of the top players on the team. Yes, I had mentioned that a coaching switch actually did the trick, which is great. They had a change of leadership in terms of the coach. And this kid is ultimately playing now. But most importantly, we were able to fix certain things within her game, so she's now able to play to the to her full potential on that team. And one, you know, you need to understand the team concept. What is the team trying to do? Are they trying to play out from the back? Are they trying to boot it up to this to the attack middies? Who and what, you know, who are the main players on the team? And how does my child compare to those players, and how can my child fit with those players? So these are all the things that I try to think about when I am trying to help a parent to solve the problem of the child not playing. And of course, you have situations where you have the scenarios where the child is probably not interested, or the parent is more excited than the child. You have those scenarios as well. And I personally try to find solutions with the parent and the child to solve that problem. So I know that's an important problem. Sometimes some kids just aren't playing enough, and parents are concerned. So I try to, you know, work that out with them. And that's an important part for me, important problem for me as a 1v1 coach. I'm not looking to solve every problem. I'm going to be honest with you, but those are very, very important problems for me as a 1v1 coach. That's where I think I shine the best, helping the parents and the kids to solve those problems of maybe I'm not playing enough. How can I solve that? Thank you guys for listening. I have one more story to share, not right now, but I'm going to share it tomorrow as it relates to this topic of what should you do if your child is not playing or not playing enough on her team. There is another story about a player who, she's a defender and she wasn't playing a lot. The coach will pull her out in sometime midway during the game because of some errors or some issues that she may run into. And again, as the 1v1 coach, it's my responsibility to say, okay, how can I help you guys solve that problem? And that's why parents reach out to me to solve these targeted problems. All right. So I'll be looking forward to talking to you about that. I went a little bit over my time, but looking forward to talking to you guys tomorrow. Stay tuned. Have a good day. Take care. Bye-bye.